morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love digging in the dirt, and I love helping people with their landscapes. So I'm so glad you're joining us this morning. It's been a hot, hot week. And we've seen some rain. We've seen some lightning storms. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Lizzie. How was the lightning storms?
Lightning storms? Oh, my cheese and crackers. That we have had. We've had a little bit of rain, but the lightning storms has been like hitting in our backyard to the point of like everything jumped.
Everything jumped. It shook our house, mm-hmm. a couple of them. And so that, you know what's causing that when that shakes the house? That is the air that it kind of explodes where it comes out. It is a reverberation.
Okay.
So the ground reverberates around there, and that's what causes that.
Oh.
That's incredible. The lightning has been incredible. That's kind of good. You know, when we have lightning in the skies, that collects that all the nitrogen ions stick together,
mm-hmm.
and it's the equivalent of like fertilizing your lawn.
Oh, there you go. We're being fertilized
and didn't even know it. Good morning to everyone out there. We have to say a big good morning all around the world. We not only have some great listeners here in Florida, but also too in Texas and up north in Ohio, New York, California, and then across the world. We've been big in Japan this week. And Japan and Singapore. So just a good morning to everybody out there. I have my cup of tea. I'm excited to get going with the day. We got a great show for you this morning. And we're going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. We have interviews and then we're going to be going. But I also want to announce that Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, they have a workshop today at 9:30, a 9:30 lecture. It's not a workshop, it's a lecture,
mm-hmm.
and it's called The Sweet Smell of Gardening. Mm.
And the most important part of that is to BYOC, which means bring your own chair.
Exactly, and you'll enjoy that, and it's just a big good morning from Lakeland this morning, too, as well, and we do appreciate them. We appreciate all our sponsors here. So we did have lightning storms this week. We also had a lot of rain. It came down. It didn't seem like it rained every day or every other day, but when it did, it rained hard. We received at the house about 2 inches of rain. And North Florida this week, you're going to see 50 to 70% chance of rain every day through next weekend. So we are going to be getting those afternoon thunderstorms. So you want to be careful about that. Highs in the mid-90s. Nighttime lows in the 70s is a great conditions for planting shrubs and trees and flowers. So you just do it now while we're getting this summer rain. That will be great. West Coast, you had boomers last night. Tampa, Naples, Venice, Cape Coral. I'm so appreciate Mike sent me videos and pictures of the storm going through. And he got a downburst.
Yeah, Peterson's Nursery. Howie just texted me and said they had 50-mile-an-hour winds. And I he's right. I was actually in Lakeland last night. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sky was clear and it turned black. And so and all the debris in the parking lot where we were, everything was spinning in circles. So I'm one of those. I'll just stand there and watch the sky and I'll watch the clouds to see which way they're going to determine, you know, what my next move is.
Right, because whether you're going to go drive home.
And it was that scary.
Wow. And it came up all of a sudden.
Out of nowhere.
Well, Everybody needs to be careful out there because that really, really does happen. Oh,
it dropped from like, about 97 degrees to 84 just like that. You know that's no.
That's
if for y'all new to Florida, whenever that happens, you need to find the four walls in interior inside of whatever building you're in.
Yeah, it could possibly turn into a tornado. Yeah. Big shout out to our listeners in Ormond Beach in Melbourne. You guys are really good about in Ormond Beach listening and then also going to our Facebook page. We do appreciate that. You're going to see a good chance of rain this weekend, sunshine early in the week, and then more rain chances next weekend. So it's going to kind of be late in the afternoon at night if we do get it. But the landscapes are going to be fine. You want to be sure to check your irrigation shutoff devices all throughout the state. This is a great time to see if your irrigation shutoff devices are working. Your irrigation should not come on if you get an inch and a half of rain during the week. And we have been getting that much. So if it does go on, That means that your irrigation is either shut off or not working, that it's not set to the proper level. It should be set to 1.5 inches. And then also, too, the cork, you know, this is a piece of technology, and it does need to be checked on frequently, like every couple of months, and just like any other technical piece of equipment that you have, and then replaced after, you know, 4 or 5 years. They have such great new models now. They're only about $30 to $40, which I know is a lot, but it literally will save you hundreds of dollars in irrigation bills. And that's the most important thing. You're not only going to conserve water, not waste it, but it's going to save you economically. You're going to save that money and not have to pay for the rainfall that you're getting. So we will definitely be getting rain, and we're glad to see it, because we need to get about 35 inches of rain, Lizzie, for us to catch up with the drought deficit. And did you see they cut back the number of hurricanes?
Oh.
They reduced it from April to now. It went, I'm thinking, I should have had it in front of me.
We can look it up over the break.
Yeah. 10 hurricanes, they've reduced it to 8.
Ooh, yeah.
And tropical storms, they've reduced. So it's a good thing.
Keep but coming back to bite us later on.
July, it's summertime. You can't fertilize your lawns, but there are ways to make your lawns healthier. We have Dana Benrick from Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand coming up. He's going to tell us exactly what we need to do. But Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We have with us right now one of our sponsors, Dana Benrick, with Quality Green Specialist Nursery. Dana has so much knowledge regarding growing plants and, you know, extension background, university background, and being just agriculture. We are so pleased that he is here today. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you, Teresa?
I am great. Did you have a good 4th of July?
I did. You know, other than it was just a torrential rain up here in the land, and we didn't really go out, but we could see the fireworks in the distance from the patio.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we were coming back from Daytona Beach and going through DeLand, and the traffic was backed up. But going through on the I-4 crossing the St. John's, we could see all the other cities' fireworks going off. At 11 o'clock at night, there were still fireworks going off. So you live in a great part of Florida, and it's just interesting. So did you have anything from your garden to celebrate the 4th of July?
We did. You know, sort of an unusual thing. You know, I actually had some sweet potatoes from our garden in our containers that we grow them in here at the nursery. But, wow, they are so good, rich and smooth with a nice, clean taste, so much better than store-bought.
It's okay, amazing. So what's your recipe for cooking sweet potatoes, Dana?
Well, you know, it's called microwave.
No, he's not lying. Like my father, before he passed, actually his big thing was potatoes and sweet potatoes, and he would put them in the microwave, and they actually turned out the best.
But my favorite way is, you know, just steam them or boil them, you know. But you have to be careful there, get waterlogged.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great.
But anyway, we also had some cucumbers from the garden and okra. Oh, we have so much okra. And my mother had the best recipe for okras. We like to follow that with tomato sauce.
Uh-huh.
And we actually had some tomatoes and peppers and a guava, actually, from the garden. I'm looking at one now. I'm holding my hand. It's so big, my wife said she had never seen one that big.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I took her some nice, beautiful leaves from our guava plants out back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pink guava. Well, we have white, too. And she takes them and dries them, and then she brings them to a boil and lets it steep overnight in that water. And she takes that. It's a delicious tea. It brought her blood sugar right back down under 200.
Oh, my goodness.
She was so happy.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we get so many benefits medicinally from nature. That is just wonderful. So even though we have planted summer vegetables in April and May, Dana, what kind of vegetables can be planted right now?
Well, we can plant okra all summer long. You know, like we can plant the little cherry tomato, we call it Everglades tomato, just intense. It's great for sauces and marinating, along with peppers and onions. And also, of course, the sweet potatoes.
Right.
You can plant all types of fruiting plants right now that are containerized.
What about watermelon and corn?
Jicama is another one you don't think about, but you can plant that also.
I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Jicama.
Oh, jicama. Oh, yes.
It's a root vegetable that's very native of Mexico, say.
Yes, and so I have to tell everybody, you spell that J-I-C-A-M-A.
Yes, it starts with a J.
So you say jicama. What about watermelon and corn? Can we still plant those?
Absolutely. We have some corn that's already starting to tassel in containers, along with some pole beans and some squash. So we've got a demonstration here for the three sisters, you know, originating with the natives of Florida, where you have the combination of the corn, and then that's like the stalk that the vines of the bean climbs up, and then the good companion is the squash. Of course, we have the Seminole pumpkins. We have those.
Those are delicious, too, as well. And so with the heat of the summer, we're seeing extreme heat. They're talking about over 100 degrees today and this weekend. And so what should we not be doing in the landscape?
Oh, gosh. No, don't be putting regular fertilizer, any nitrogen fertilizer or phosphorus fertilizer. You can use some minerals, you know, particularly if you had a soil test. But we know that the summer rains are going to leach a lot of potassium and magnesium. And certain minerals like that, and plus the nitrogen. So, but it's really helpful if you can use something like that, because the rains will leach those out. I like to use potassium sulfate or magnesium sulfate. Even better is potassium magnesium sulfate. It does wonders. It's really great to stop disease. It's very, the element potassium is a mineral taken up most by plants, but you're going to do a world of good if you do nothing but that. Even better, we've found to use azomite. The volcanic pumice got all the trace minerals, very low amounts, but they're there, along with a little bit of the all the major and secondary, except there's no nitrogen in it, so it complies with the best management practices.
Right. So what is so important about getting these micro or minor nutrients to plants? Why do they benefit from it, like from azomite, which is really very good for your landscape?
Well, the micronutrients really give the disease protection and color to plants and the taste. And so basically a lot of fungicides are based on those micronutrients, like copperside.
Right. Oh, yes, that's right.
Manganese, maneb, or mancozeb with manganese and zinc. I mean, they're all great for stopping disease. Like, for example, manganese next to potassium is a mineral that's best at stopping disease. But all these things together, you don't have to worry about any of the trace minerals too much during the summer, because they don't leak, except for boron. You don't want to use that in the summer either. Use boron early and late, very tiny amount
in spring and
it's
in fall,
very,
not
very
right
tiny
now
any trace mineral.
Right. And so can soil testing, and you do soil testing there at Quality Green Specialists, and so can you tell them what their soil has and how to make it healthier?
Absolutely. I do a complete analysis of all the major, secondary, and the trace minerals, or micronutrients. And then I tell them exactly how much of each per 1,000 square feet, each of those, is needed to bring sufficiency and good ratios to all your nutrients in the soil that feeds the microbes, and the microbes, of course, and feed the plants. But, you know, you don't want to put all that, so I break it down. This is how much you can put with each application. It might take a year or two to bring everything up completely to sufficiency, but you don't want to put it all at once. It's like giving a ton of hay to one cow. You can't do it.
Right.
So you gradually build the soil with a fraction based on how much the soil will hold. So if you need 54 pounds of all these things together to bring the soil up to sufficiency, you don't want to put more than 20 pounds or something like that at one time. And then you gradually and helpfully bring the soil up to sufficiency. And all the microbes are super happy. They're all doing their job. The mineralizing bacteria are working without being burned by too much fertilizer and give you all the minerals in a bioavailable form.
So I have a lot of people tell me they just throw the fertilizer down or they'll put like three little sticks around their plants. And how much fertilizer should they put down?
You should never put more than 25 pounds at most per 1,000 square feet of root area, surface area of the ground, and spread it out uniformly. And, of course, not near the trunk or the stem.
You want to spray it over the root area.
The soil can hold it, and the microbes can handle it. And then everything works like a beautiful symphony.
So minor nutrients, definitely. How do minor nutrients help fruit trees?
Well, specifically, you're going to get so much more retention that's going to help hold the fruit on the tree, for one thing. Boron, it was actually demonstrated way back in 1949 by a professor with the Citrus Research Station, that if you're low on boron, you lose all your fruit. If you have sufficiency of boron, that alone will help the tree retain a lot more fruit. It's going to give quality and taste to the fruit and the color, you know. The misconception is that nitrogen gives like green color to the grass, pretty green. Mm-hmm. No, it's the acidity of the nitrogen that helps dissolve out the micronutrients. The micronutrients actually give that green color, like the magnesium and iron.
Right. And so you were saying, okay, so we just said a few minutes ago not to put boron down, but you do recommend putting boron down, but like in the spring and in the fall.
Yeah, twice. I recommend twice. Early spring, like January or February, not later than March, and then again September or October. And you don't want to put very low rate because boron's only needed like 1 to 4 parts per million in the soil compared to 100 to 250 parts per million of iron. So you can see, use a thimbleful if you're using, you know, like half an ounce of the major
element. A little goes a long way. So real quick,
exactly.
We're coming up to the
Don't
end.
Don't overdo anything.
No, I appreciate that. So we're coming up to our hard break, Dana, but foliar feeding, I wanted to get that in. Is this time of the year, is foliar feeding recommended?
Well, we recommend it at a very low rate. It helps keep you in the ball game, you know, especially with fruit trees. Because, you know, it gives you those nutrients that help the tree sustain all this super stress of the hot weather. And so make sure you reduce the rate. If you've been using 1 ounce per gallon, cut it back not more than half an ounce per gallon during the summer, and then do it early in the morning so you don't have any stress. Too much stress on the plant.
Oh, excellent, Dana. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where you're located and they can buy all these wonderful plants, shrubs, and trees.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. It's 335 West Michigan Avenue, right here in DeLand, near the campus of Stetson. And we're open 9 to 4 every day, and we'll be really happy to see you.
Excellent, so much. Thank you very much, Dana. We appreciate
you
coming on.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a great day.
You too, hon. Thank you. And if you'd like to call Quality Green Specialist Nursery, the number is 386-734-8000. 734-8000. That's 8000. And we are now going to be taking your phone calls. If you'd like to give us a phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and let us know what kind of gardening questions you have from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Like to thank Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist Nursery for coming on and sponsoring the program, but also helping us with all the information we need for fertilizers. So we do appreciate that. You can get to Quality Green Specialist Nursery at 335 West Michigan Street in DeLand. If you know of someone who loves to garden or has a question, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Tell them to call in with their gardening questions so I can help them too. You can call me at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 like Scott and Mike. We do appreciate it. We're going to get right to them. Let's go first, though, to Alan in Montverde. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Enjoying the show as usual. I have a comment and observation. I need your opinion. Local pruning on shrubbery, people as you've mentioned so eloquently, are starting to trim back all their dead stuff. I, as being involved most of my life in citrus, 62 freeze, the 70 freezes, and the 80s freezes, we learned that when you trim a branch, well, it's green, you know, you trim it, and then you see that a third or two-thirds of it is dead from the freeze damage. Well, it's still green, and I've seen people, you know, these trees and shrubs will bounce back. But when they don't have a 306, my observation is a 360-degree green material, as they get older, then you get into windy conditions and those branches will break and people will say, oh, it broke. It was just so beautiful, loaded with fruit or whatever. Have you noticed that? Because I've been telling people, go down and cut. I know you want to get your trees looking better, but bite the bullet for now and go down until you have at least a 80 to 100% green 360 vegetative cambium and xylem and phloem levels around your tree, because otherwise you're just kind of shorting yourself. Have you observed that?
I do. I agree with you. But when the branches are completely dead, so, you know, you want to cut back to live growth, so the live branches. So if there is stems that are completely dead and they just snap right off, there's just no moisture in it at all, no life in it at all, they can take those back. They can cut those off. But, no, I agree with you. Pruning it too much or pruning it too much at one time does cause a problem. And the trees react, they go into immediate growth, but sometimes you don't need that growth happening at certain times of the year. So, it depends on when you're going to prune it and what you're pruning.
Yeah, this has been, to me, has been a 2-year thing, because you come back and you say, well, it's all bushed out 6 inches below and where I thought the vegetation died. Well, you need to go back to where it's 100% green, 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 and then your one and done kind of approach. Hey, another quick question, two more quick questions, and I'll go.
Uh-huh.
I was talking to your screener. I've been really, really potentially late getting my zinnias, my cosmos, and mostly important, my sunflowers in the ground. Is it this, we're pushing the end of a cycle, or is it still viable to get those in the ground?
Oh, no, we're still in a wonderful, wonderful cycle, especially if you're doing seeds. Transplants you can do always, but sunflowers and zinnias, wait till you hear my top five coming up. You'll be so glad. But our sunflowers, you can go ahead and plant now, from now all the way into September. And so I like to plant them where you plant 10 to 20 at a time, unless you're doing a whole big meadow, but 10 to 20 at a time. And then a month later, doing a 10 to 20 more. And then a month later, doing that. And then that way you continuously have flowers through into, you know, November and December.
Yeah, especially with the single bloom varieties that aren't multiple bloomers.
Exactly.
Hey, on your guest had a good comment on the azomite. I've used that, and there seems to be a big interest now in organic and non-organic and regenerative farming. And I've used azomite, and I was going to ask your guest about this. I don't put it all out at once. I put a little bit. I go a quarter, half quarter is my regimen. I put it out in the fall, and it starts, because it takes a while for that, as you know, for
to absorb
down.
It, yes. Mm-hmm.
It breaks down. Then in the early spring, I put out half of what I was going to do for the year. And then late summer, put out a quarter. So it's quarter, half, quarter. And that kind of, instead of stoking it all at once and it's laying there on the surface and it leeches itself out.
Right, exactly. No, your approach is very good. It's wonderful. You can come in and take over my job anytime, Alan.
No. I'm a better listener than a talker. So
thank you so much for coming in. You've got a lot of great information there. Thank you very much. Let's go to Bill. Good morning, Bill. And he's in George. Where is he?
Georgetown.
Oh, you're in Georgetown. Yeah. That's okay. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Fine. You asked me to call back about the watermelon I was growing, so I would give you an update on it.
Oh, please do. How is it?
Oh, it's doing fantastic. First, I need to explain that it's in a 15-gallon pot. This is not in the ground, and it's up on the railing on my porch. And I was going to try to do something I did when I lived in Mount Dora, which was to have them on the fence and then let them hang. Let them hang, because they will hang. But I've learned something. When the vines grow down, the blooms will not set. We have to be that time I had to plant it in the ground, and the vines grew up and it set fruit. So, anyways, I got another vine and it's growing along the railing on the porch. And another curious thing, it put out a bloom and I hand pollinated it. It looked fine. It sat there, marked time. Put out another bloom, and it sat there. I hand pollinated it, and finally it put out the third bloom, and I hand pollinated it, and the third one took off. And I find it so amazing that the plant can recognize that now it has a set fruit, and the other two atrophied and turned yellow and fell off.
Isn't that amazing?
That is. That's just, I mean, how does the plant know that? It's almost like it's got a brain.
It does. You know, and sometimes they're smarter than we are. But what variety of watermelon is it, Bill?
One that you got in the store, okay? My neighbor gave me a half a watermelon. It was a seedless one. And, of course, the seedless watermelon always has a couple of seeds.
A couple of seeds. Well, wonderful. Good for you. I would love to see a photograph of it sitting on your railing. I would love to see that.
That would be really nice, except you're dealing with an ignoramus here who does not have a computer. Now, I've got a phone. I probably could take a picture of it, but I'd have to have somebody else send it to you.
Okay, if you could do that, that would be great, Bill. I would love to see it, and that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You realize I have the option. I can grow it sitting on the rail. I have the vine already tied down, so that's not going. The watermelon doubled in size last night. It was the size of a walnut yesterday. Today it's at least three times that size.
Oh my goodness.
And I have the option. I can grow it on the railing, or I could let it hang off the railing. And I have found, because I grew a 30-pound squash one time and had it hanging by its own stem, I found that the plant will increase its stem to support the weight.
To support
naturally.
The weight.
We'll do that naturally.
I so agree with you, and it's just fascinating to watch, and I would love to. It sounds like you're doing everything right. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much, Bill, for calling in. We're going to take more of your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Scott and Mike, we're going to get to you next after Better Lawns Gardens. It's Saturday morning. This is where you are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens, and now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five today are my top five zinnias that beat the heat. Zinnias are a wonderful summer annual that blooms continuously throughout the summer. They need full sun. And if you plant seeds, they will bloom, or they will emerge within 7 to 10 days and will just head to the races. Let me give you my top five favorites that you can get from burpee.com. Macarena zinnias. They bring vibrant, vivid, spicy orange color to the garden. They have 3-inch blooms that last all summer. Wonderful for borders, containers, and cut flowers. And the colors deepen as they mature. So those are wonderful. Get 35 seeds for $8.95. Number two, the raspberry lemonade zinnias. These are bold 2 to 3-inch blooms, and they have a colorful display. They look amazing together, all the color combinations together. It's a vibrant mix of coral, yellow, and starlight rose. 25 seeds, $6.95. The giant flowered zinnias. These are sturdy, bushy flowers. They produce a huge 5 inch double bloom that looks like dahlias, and they add bold, vibrant color to the garden. He loved the heat. They're easy to grow, and you can get 150 seeds for $5.45 or 375 seeds for $7.95. Number four, the tequila lime zinnias are wonderful. They're incredible color. They just look like lime. They feature crisp citrus green blooms up to 3 inches, and you can get 50 seeds for $6.95. And my number five is the cactus flower zinnias. They're an enduring heirloom variety. Burpee has grown these. They had a breakthrough zinnia in the 1920s. This mix produces double and semi-double blooms up to 5 inches in scarlet, rose, orange, white, and yellow. And it's exceptional for cut flowers. You can get 100 seeds for $4.95. That's at burpee.com. They're zinnias. My top five. Hopefully that helps you out, Alan. You can plant zinnias and sunflowers all the way through August, late August, and now's the time to get those seeds. Get your tomatoes and eggplant and your pepper seeds right now. Kind of order them. If you wait until August, there are not going to be any left. So let's go through the text messages. In Claremont, we had someone text that said that they had bougainvilleas that froze during the wintertime, but they're coming back. It was a braided bougainvillea, and what can they do now? Well, you can take the new green growth that's coming up out of the bottom of the plant, the trunk, and you can re-braid it as it comes up. And what you do is you wait till it's like 6 to 8 to a foot long, and then you braid them while they're still green and very flexible, and you just keep continuing and letting it grow until they will eventually get to be 6 to 8 feet tall, but the braid, you got to do it when the stems are newly green, okay? And I would cut off any of the brown trunks, dead trunks or dead wood. Go ahead and cut those off so it's easier to braid. Great question. Thank you so much for sending it. So this is Mike from Palm Bay. He also has two bougainvilleas in raised beds that are not flowering. I've already applied fertilizer with phosphorus 4 weeks ago. What can I do to increase flowers on these two? Well, Mike, you need to stop taking care of them so nice. They are just loving what you are doing, and they will grow green leaves, and they will get lots of leaves, but they will not produce flowers. So bougainvillea loves to be just kind of neglected. You want to make sure you're not overwatering it. When you fertilize them with nitrogen, they're going to grow the leaves, and they're not going to produce the blooms. So I would just go ahead and let it get a little, dry. Then also to don't fertilize it, except maybe once every couple of years. Okay, if necessary, especially if it's in a pot, you can do it in the springtime. But just ignore them and let them kind of suffer on their own. When plants, some species, when they think that they're dying or being neglected and they need to, to keep the species going, that's when they produce the flowers and the seeds. And did you know that bougainvilleas are all white flowers? Every bougainvillea has white flowers. The bracts that you see, all the different ones in the coral, the white, the peach, the fuchsia colors, all of those different vibrant colors on bougainvilleas are the modified leaves, the bracts. It's not really the flower. So if you want to see those modified bracts, go ahead and stop fertilizing it. Make sure it's in full sun and water maybe once every week or every couple of weeks, and it'll be just fine.
Oh, yeah, facts. I mean, that is like one, like a cactus almost. Not saying that you should treat like it, but I'm saying you just ignore it. It ends up being gorgeous and big, and it just takes over everything.
It does.
And then it stabs you, and it's the best plant ever.
And so it does really well when it's stressed. So Scott says, my Exora plants survived the big freeze on your fine advice. Thank you very much. However, they could no longer be called tight bushes. The branches have unsightly sprawl. Is there a way to make them bushy? And this goes back to what Alan was saying about pruning. So you can cut off all of the dead portions of the branch. And by that, I mean the ones that are completely dead. you can cut it back. You can prune it back till you find the stems that are still having some life in them. Cut diagonally, let them emerge, flush back out again. And then it's going to be a 1 to 2 year process. You want to take them back very carefully and just cut back about 1 to 2 inches, then let that flush out again, and then wait about 6 months, wait till the new growth starts happening again, and then you take it back again. So it's not a one-time pruning project. You have to, when it's recovering from wintertime freezes, you have to do it in stages. And so that's, you need to be patient and cut it back, I would say, probably twice a year. And so for right now, I'd let it, you know, just take off all the dead, but go ahead and let it grow through the springtime, keeping it hopefully through the wintertime, and then going ahead, and you can cut it again next spring just by a little bit and let it keep flushing out. So thank you very much for the text. I really do appreciate it. And then let me just go ahead and make sure I give you this. What can you be planting right now? This is very important. Boniatos, calabasas, and cherry tomatoes. Okra, southern peas, Seminole pumpkins, just like Dana Venrick was mentioning from Quality Green Specialists. Sweet cassavas, Roselle, that's for all of our listeners who like Roselle tea, Liberty tea. Sweet potato and yard-long beans. And again, this is the time to start your seeds for eggplants and peppers and tomatoes. You want to do them now so that they're ready to go into your containers, your raised beds, or into the ground mid-August. And that will be an important time for that. So we do, the highs right now are averaging about 90 degrees, 94, 95. It's going to feel like it's over 100. Lows are in the mid-70s to low 80s, depending on where you are. South Miami, you guys are going to get some lovely weather, Chamber of Commerce beach weather this week. And you're going to be, lows are going to be in the 80s. But it's just important to know that you need to water, but not too much. Okay, we're going to get this rainfall. And if you get 1.5 inches of rain a week, you do not need to turn your irrigation system on. So in the month of July, we average about 7.25 inches of rain. And when you think about it, that's 1.5 inches, you know, a week. So we definitely have seen areas, some areas of Florida have already gotten those 7 to 8 inches already. So is it that you have to not irrigate? No, just feel the ground. If the ground is cool, moist, or damp, sticking your finger in the ground, you do not need to water. Just make sure that you are not using heavy chemicals as far as pesticides right now. It will increase the need, the plant's need for water, and doing it during the middle of the day will stress the plant out even more. Do not use herbicides right now. No weed killers right now, unless you're killing an entire area and you're using a non-selective herbicide that will kill everything, because then it will really die. But if you are wanting to just take out weeds out of your lawn, this is not the time to do it. The weeds are stronger than your turf, and the heat is going to stress it out, and it means that you're going to probably hurt your grass more than the weeds, and you won't get rid of the weeds. Wait until the fall, okay, first part of October, and then you can use your herbicide then, using it when the temperatures are under 85 degrees. We're going to be back with the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.